Hello and welcome to Don't Evolve Me, the place that Gash, Cush, and Pikachu, we don't evolve, we just level up. Here with Meme to talk a bunch of different shows. Peacemaker, Gen V, but before we get into those two, because I know those two is where our excitement's at, we're going to talk Twisted Metal Season 2. A show that it's been a few weeks since it ended. It's a show that I've briefly talked about several times this summer. It ended. I have thoughts, but I don't have a lot of thoughts, and I feel like you're in the same boat that I am in.
Yep. Not, yeah.
Okay, first off, what's your rating of Twisted Metal Season 2? Like, where are you at with it? Twisted Metal Season 2.
Probably like a 3, maybe a 3 plus if I'm feeling kind of generous.
Mm-hmm.
But probably closer to a 3. I mean, I didn't hate it by any means, but it was...
So Season 1 for me was a 4 minus. And I think one of the reasons why I really liked it was everything but the car parts in that show. I really like the characters. I like Anthony Mackie's John Doe. Quiet is... I forget the actress's name, and I feel bad that I don't...
Stephanie
Benz? I enjoyed that dynamic of it. So I really enjoyed Season 1 and the character building and the kind of just the lore building of this world. And Season 2, it felt like it got really into the meat of the franchise, which is car tournaments, which ironically isn't that meaty, right? For Season 2, I feel like some of the best parts was in between the car parts itself, except for the very last couple episodes where that was like the big finale of the season, the final battle, the final tournament.
Final rounds.
Yeah, so I thought it was like a really good car show.
Mm.
Honestly, if you turn your brain off, this is like Fast and Furious. If you just stop thinking about it, if you stop worrying about like the relationships and the iffy writing between the relationships and you just had fun with it, it's a really good show that I really enjoyed. So for me, it's a 3+. I kind of want to give it a 4- like Season 1. But I will say the beginning aspect of the show, I got really bored, and there was a moment where I was like, did Twisted Metal fall off? Did this become a really bad show?
And I think that's exactly it. It took a while to get going in the second season. It did feel like they just kept talking about the upcoming tournament over and over again. And it's like, man, is this tournament going to start when there's like one episode left?
Yeah. And I didn't really care about the John Doe doll face situation. I know that's kind of like our character, you know, getting their memories back. I wasn't that interested because like John Doe is not the same character as, I don't even remember what his actual name was. But like
something with an L, Linus or something.
Yeah, and so like when those characters were talking, I was like, I didn't really feel it. Didn't really feel the whole Quiet John situation. I didn't really like the fact that John was in San Francisco, and I didn't mind the bits of it, but it just like they recasted Raven. They're like, oh, it's a new Raven, and I'm like, I didn't really care for that because that kills a whole connection with John. And so just the getting the tournament together really killed the hype of the show.
The momentum.
But once we got into it, like halfway through, once we got into the tournament piece, I really liked the prom aspect in between the rounds. I thought it was like weird, but I'm like, I kind of like it. I have questions because there was a couple characters who killed each other, and they're like, hey, you're not going to be part of the electrocution round, but you'll move on to the championship. And I'm like, that doesn't make sense. Weren't they cheating technically? You're going to give them a free buy spot?
Yeah, there was some logic to be questioned, but yeah. But I did think, what's his face? The Sweet guy Tooth? That played, no, the main bad guy.
Oh, Calypso?
Just drawing a complete, yeah, Calypso, and I can't remember what his name is either, but I did enjoy his parts. I mean, he just kind of chews up scenery like nobody else.
I mean, him
it's
and
fun.
the Barry roles, and like he's in Superman as Metamorpho too. Anthony Caruso, I believe. No, that's a basketball player. I forget what. No, it's Alex Caruso. What's his name?
I gotta look.
When you have ADHD, you just blank on like the actual memory of people, and I feel bad.
I'm really good with some names. Anthony Carrigan.
There it is. Yeah. I enjoyed him as Calypso. I feel like he played Calypso, especially towards the end. And I really like that Stu won it out of like nowhere. And I like that he got the twist ending, because that's what I remember from playing Twisted Metal, is when you actually won, you know, whatever character you chose, they got what they wanted, but like it was very much the wish
monkey's paw.
Yeah.
Type wish, yeah,
where it's like, aha, you got what you wanted, but you didn't specify it, so it's like the worst version of what you stated. So yeah, it's one of those shows, like once we got to the back part of it, I was all in. I was like, this is fun, it's stupid, it's a stupid car show, but I'm like, it's a fun stupid car show. And
yeah,
at the end, like all the twists in the battles, I'm like, and once like John and Quiet actually got into their game and played well with each other, like once our protagonist actually, you know, showed off their actual skills and didn't, because I felt like they were very just, eh.
Yeah.
Another part of it where I thought, what'd you think of Mayhem as a character?
They were okay.
I did not care for her.
Yeah. I definitely wasn't like excited about.
So I feel bad because I don't want to be misogynistic with it, but like with Quiet and Mayhem like entering the tournament, my whole thought process was like, Quiet never really drove a car before this. Like she did a little bit in season one, but I'm like, where's her car skills? Where is she getting that from? Mayhem, at least you could explain it a little bit when she got the futuristic car that kind of did all the stuff for her.
Yeah.
I'm just like, same with like Raven as well. And you could say this for like every driver to tweet to. But I'm like, all these drivers aren't like explained why they're great drivers other than like the mailman themselves, which is John. And Sweet Tooth, you could explain a little bit. But I'm like, I wish like these other characters had more like Twister.
Background.
Yeah, like Twister from season one was like, okay, that would have made sense in tournament. There was at least like a driving history. Whereas all these other characters, I'm like, it's not there. So like when you think about it, like narratively, the show fails on a lot of reasons, but if you just turn your brain off, it's a fun car show.
It is fun. Yeah, it was fun. I don't regret watching it, that's for sure.
What'd you think of the season three setup? Because I know before like the season two stopped or like was finished, I was questioning, I'm like, is this it? Are we done with Twisted Metal? But I thought they did a really good twist at the end to put season three.
Yeah, like, Stu showing back up.
Yeah, well, that part I was like,
somehow escaping from space.
That part of it I was like, how? And also his sister being like the one who like the big surprise monster at the end. It's like,
I will say I didn't love that aspect of it either.
No,
see, in like the video games or whatever, there is like a big boss kind of enemy. Yes. That
I did
goes
like
up,
that,
but it's a big like semi truck type thing, like full of weapons and stuff, which like makes sense in
or like a robot like a
car fighting game instead of it just being like a robot person.
Yeah,
like how do you fight a robot person with cars? And it just like it was just kind of seemed like they ran out of budget or something. That's kind of the vibe I got. They couldn't
do
the actual.
Maybe they wanted like, to see Sweet Tooth fight somebody.
Yeah, I can't think of the actual name of it, of the like boss or whatever from Twisted Metal, but it is just like a massive. Like it would have made a lot of sense if that would have been it.
Yeah, like a car. Like I remember some of the boss battles.
Like
they're
car
usually
boss, yeah.
Yeah, it's car theme, and I did have that thought. Like it could have been a better boss battle, but I did just genuinely like the surprise of like, we have more because I don't actually want you to win. I don't want to actually give you the wish. I do like that aspect of it. I also like the surprise twist, and this is where we get to season three, where you know half the like stands blow up, and they're from like the city, and they frame. Outsiders for blowing it up, causing this like war essentially. I like the surprise, because there was just a moment where I was like, what the fuck is going on? Like, I'm not necessarily surprised that it happened, because like Calypso is kind of that character to just, he's a wild card. You don't know what he's planning. And that, I think that was portrayed decently well.
Yeah.
But I do, it was very much like, what?
Yeah. Random. Felt random. Kind of just like a force point to move things forward. Because like,
a little bit.
Was he planning on like pinning it on them the whole time? Because what if they just would have died in the tournament anyways, like they almost did? Then what would his plan have been?
I think he was just going to pin it on whoever survived. Like, I could see Sweet Tooth being pinned down as well.
Yeah. Yeah, he'd probably be excited about it, though.
Or maybe he just wanted everyone to die.
Yeah.
And then just, you know, because there were survivors, it's like, oh, this worked to pin it on them. I do like it, though. I do like the that we have, like, a reason for more car chases.
Yeah.
This is a good natural way to do Season 3.
The Season 3, I'll be all for it if we actually get the Sweet Tooth, like, mecha robot ice cream truck.
Yes.
Ultimate move. That's what I wanted. Mm-hmm. That's what I want. I want to see the thing go full.
We'll full get robot. It. We'll get it.
Yeah.
I think we will. I feel like the last season will probably be Season 4, and it's probably going to just be a bigger version of Season 2, like a bigger tournament. I don't know what I want from Twisted Metal. I will say I'm just enjoying it. Like, I don't.
Yeah.
I thought Season 2 was going to lose me halfway through, and it pulled me back, which is why I'm a 3+, but I'm like 4-, maybe, just because I did enjoy it. Who's the MVP of this season?
I mean, I do really think that. Like, what I remember thinking while watching the show was that this show gave me kind of a whole new respect for Anthony Mackie as an actor.
Yeah.
Just with, like, how funny and goofy and stuff he could be. And so I kind of feel like...
He's MVP.
I gotta give it to him.
Well, that's performance. I agree with him being the MVP, most valuable performer. But character, though, I don't know if I want to put John Doe there. Like, at the end, yes.
Yeah. Where you... Quiet.
That's honestly, I'm giving it to Stu. He won it.
Stu. I mean, he won the tournament. I guess
he won the tournament. I mean, his story was arguably more interesting than any other protagonist. With, you know, his friend being back, and then the whole cannibal, and then just, I like how, like, at the end, his friend just, like, died immediately, and you're just like, oh, god damn.
Yeah, that's true. Like, he gets blasted away right away.
You're just Mike, like, do I like this? I don't really know if I like this. I feel bad for Stu. And then you're like, and then Stu's still alive, and you're like, oh, you know, he won. It's a horrible way to win, though. With your best friend just being killed.
Yeah.
And then being trapped in space with your best friend.
Yeah, with his dead body, yeah. That'd be pretty bad.
Fun.
He got exactly what he wanted.
Who's the MVP? Is it Calypso? Is it Raven?
I feel like it's realistically probably more Raven than Calypso, but...
I didn't really like
him. He is definitely like that, yeah.
I don't like the Calypso that much either. He's like a villain. I liked him at the end.
Yeah, he's more of like a... Yeah, felt more like just like a force throughout the show. Than like a villain, like we didn't really know what his motives were.
We have Grimm, but he was kind of like an anti-hero, same with Sweet Tooth, and it was like those two more or less had a thing. It's probably Raven, isn't it?
I mean she was the only one with like the actual connection to our protagonist.
I would have liked her so much more if she didn't change actresses.
It was
hard to just get on her, but I know, like, when she just started killing people, it's like, oh, damn, all right, she's a force. So, all right. I'm going to tell you a little bit on Dexter.
Okay.
So I've been seeing a lot of TikToks on Dexter Resurrection lately, and a lot of people are disappointed with the finale, and I won't tell you the finale, but I will say it's very traditional Dexter finale.
I don't think that's a good sign.
But I'm like, I mean it for like season 1 through 3 as well, as like 5, 6, 7. Not so much 8. But what I mean by it is it's just like, you're not surprised by it, but you're like, there's surprising elements, but it's still very much like the ending you almost expect.
Okay.
But I will say, I had a lot of fun. This is
kind of the vibes I've gotten.
Mm-hmm. It's one of those shows where I'm just like, it should just be... It, like, Dexter, the franchise, should be dead. It should have been dead. It should have been dead after season 4. 5, 6 is okay. 7 was disappointing. 8's just awful. I enjoyed New Blood. I don't know if it proved its existence, but I thought it was fun. It was like, it brought you back to like original Dexter times. Like, I would say it's like season 3. You know, like, it's like, yeah, it's not the greatest, but you kind of enjoy Dexter a little bit. This season might be one of the best seasons since season 4. Actually, I'm going to say it is the best season since season 4. It's really fun. It's the whole concept is Dexter's trying to protect his son from something that he did. That's very similar to Dexter. And then Dexter has his own little side quest when he learns that there's a secret society of serial killers. And they're all actors and actresses that we've more or less have seen in different franchises. Neil Patrick Harris, Paul... It's not DiMaggio.
Giamatti.
No, not Giamatti. The guy who plays Polka Dot Man in Suicide Squad.
Oh.
No, it's like David Dashian or something like that. I'm butchering this and I feel bad. He's in it. Kristen Ritter's in it. I'm blanking on Tyrion, Peter Dinklage.
Oh, yeah. You just like it. I had it in my brain. Yeah. And you just like erased it when you said that. magic spell.
So like all those characters are in it. And so it's interesting. It's fun. I do like the finale. I do like the tie into all the other characters in the past show. So it's fun. I would say it's a worthy watch. For a rating, I would say it's in the 3+/-4- category. I think it's proved its existence. It could have had a stronger finale, but I also don't know. I don't know where you go, because it kind of brings Dexter. It's like this blend of like modern Dexter, but old Dexter. And I don't know how you change the formula up enough where it has that familiar feel to it. But because of the familiar feel, it's somewhat of a, I don't want to say disappointing, but it's an ending where you just expect. And I'll leave it at that.
Okay.
But a fun ride. It's a fun journey.
It's on my list.
Let me know when you watch it. All right. Peacemaker.
Yes.
Let's get into it. So when we last talked, we did episodes 1-4. I will say congratulations, Prime Eagle. You nailed that.
You called it. I knew it. I knew it.
I fucking love that scene.
Yep.
So let's talk a little bit of
I almost hope it never comes up again. That he's the Prime Eagle. It's just like this one went off. That feels very comic booky. Just to have like that little side story where something's revealed and then none of the other characters ever find out.
I hope it comes up, but I hope it's like just an Eagly side story.
Yeah, another little Eagly side thing.
So, all right. So last two episodes, let's kind of like briefly recap it. Episode 5, Chris gets a letter to meet Harcourt. In the letter, it's basically, it's a modern letter. It says, she codes it to him, like, don't come. Like,
I think copacetic is the word
copacetic
they used. Which means don't come.
And of course he does. And he does it in a smart way where you can't get shot. He's like hiding behind people. It's like really well done. But I'm also just like, someone's had to have an angle there, right?
Yeah. Take the shot quick.
You would have thunk. He gets there. He's basically like, hey, on the boat, was there something? Was there not? I need to know this before I make this like decision that he makes. And of course, she's just like, not a time or place. Like, no, I had no feeling towards you. And he runs, ends up going back to that dimension. We have Red St. Wild going against Eagly. And we find out that Eagly is the Prime Eagle. He was exactly right. But then he gets surrounded by the Eagles and then they're just ready. He apologizes. He's like, oh, I'm so sorry for Eagle Kind and, you know, death. potentially death. Yeah. They did not say that he's actually dead.
I think he's probably dead. I don't think we'll see him again.
They said he might come back. I don't know. I want him to come back. He's I want him to be like the Eagly worshiper after this. Like there's like an Eagly fan club or something. And he starts them.
Michael Rooker.
I know that there's Judo Master sneaks in with him. I'm trying to think what else.
Oh yeah, we didn't see what happened to them yet.
They get So Harcourt saves Chris. Bordeaux was about to kill him. We get the reveal that she's a cyborg who has like really good aim. Harcourt takes him down.
That's her cyborg ability. She's got really good aim.
She's probably got other things, but that's what we know so far. Really good aim. It's important though, because like they don't need Bloodsport, they don't need a Peacemaker, they don't need a Deadshot if they have a cyborg with really good aim. Who needs those other three? No, it's important.
Okay.
We gotta talk about Bordeaux being a cyborg, because there's like implications of where DC's going with cyborgs. This is like the second cyborg like lady.
Yeah.
I know the engineer from the Superman movie with like the nanotech. I will say Bordeaux seems very downgraded
on the cyborg. Not quite as crazy.
Like you're like if you
haven't seen so far.
Like from what we've seen a little bit, it's like, okay, she seems like she'd be a really advanced cyborg, but we've seen the engineer who is like basically manipulate their entire body to whatever they can think of.
She pulls her head out of her ass.
Literally could, yeah.
She did.
Forgot about that. So Economos, Harcourt begs Economos to book him so they can't legally kill him. Ric Flag is illegally beating the crap out of him, says to Chris to fight. He doesn't because he also regrets killing Ric Flag Jr. We learned this from season one. It's been something that's been haunting him pretty much ever since. When Economos books him, Fleury gives him a look and just kind of goes, you did well here.
You did the right thing. Yeah.
Which led a bunch of conspiracy theories about him, which we'll have to talk about.
Okay. I haven't heard any of these.
You haven't heard any of these? Okay. No. Okay, cool.
Aside from the bird blindness.
There's two big theories that I think is interesting.
Okay.
But we'll get into it. All right. Okay. So the group gets the boom tube portal, whatever it is. That's another theory of what this store is. And they jump in and we get into episode 6 where they decide that they're going to go into the portal and save Chris. Before they go to Vigilante's house. And the reason why, because no one knows who Vigilante is. Argus doesn't know his secret identity yet. We meet the lady who does a little hip thrust in the intro, and that's his mom, who is actually a really nice lady.
Yeah.
But Vigilante's just like, fuck you, mom. You're the worst ever. Yeah. But she's like like the nicest lady, and they're all bonding. And he's just
I don't think being too slutty is a reason to break up with somebody.
I laugh too hard at that.
Yeah. So awkward.
Oh, yeah, that's too. Like, this is my girlfriend. Like, sometimes I have to lie. And I love that the logic is, no, you don't. You really don't need to, but okay, whatever, Vigilante. And he, like, you pull into his little bunker, and it's just like this sick-ass, like, basement bunker looking. He's got, like, millions upon millions of dollars. They're just like, why are you borrowing money when you have all this money? That's drug money. I don't want to use that.
Yeah, it's blood money, yeah. I can't give it to the cops, because the cops are corrupt, and they'll just take it themselves.
They open the door, the wind goes, and they get hit with cocaine.
Yeah, just completely covered in cocaine.
Why don't you flush it down the toilet? The alligators! Yeah. They're in Washington, by the way. That's like the funny thing is. I also just love the fact that he's all talking about how he knows animal facts, but he doesn't know jack shit about animals.
Yeah,
no. It's just like the running joke. Theme. Alligators. Yeah. It's like they're in Washington. We talked about where they're at. They're in Washington. And I'm just like, Vigilante makes no sense, but I fucking love him for it.
Mm-hmm.
So they go into the portal. Rick Flagg Sr. is like, hey, we need to, you know, he's trying to figure out what the portal is because he wants to, you know, not have another Metropolis incident. Who does he call? He calls the person who caused the Metropolis incident, and we get Lex Luthor. And not just Lex Luthor, crippled, very dark Lex Luthor. And I really like this scene because I just like, I like Nicholas Holt. I like the whole, like, what's in it for me speech. And we kind of get the aspect of, we get to see where Lex is, his mind state, and how it's going to lead into Man of Tomorrow. And I'm sure we'll probably get maybe a little bit more because I know that season or episode 7 and 8 has leaked and they have said that it does set up for Man of Tomorrow. It's still remaining to be seen how, but I can, like, this cameo really does set it up. So Lex gets into a more cushier state. We learned that he was in Belrive with all the other metahumans. He hates it. Now he's in a more cushier place, and Rick Flagg Sr. now is going to get a device to get the portal. And the alternate universe, Harcourt, meets up with Keith. They go to Argus. She has cocaine. The dogs know. She's arrested. Chris finds
his reaction when she walks into the, when he walks into the room and she slams the door shut. And she's like, I just took a big shit. You don't want to go in there. It's like, rancid. It's just so put off by the whole thing. It was so good.
I love how different she is in this universe. How she's just like this really, I wouldn't say nice, meek, but like meek, very more definitely feminine. Whereas this, our universe is masculine, very male-like, and just a very much a 180 from her doppelganger. And seeing seeing Keith's reaction is funny. Seeing all their reaction, just be like, especially when like she gets let go, but the other Harcourt comes, and they're like, "Oh, Miss Harcourt," we're like, "Wait." Oh, and then Keith's little part where he's like, "I've never seen you wear pants." It's like, what am I just walking in my underwear?
My fucking underwear.
It's good. What's your thoughts though when like ads and like was an economist was there and she was like, hey, let's go for a walk. Did you know? You kind of like, oh god, no.
Especially with the looks, like you could tell Harcourt had already figured something out when she was looking around while they were driving at everybody out there. So it was kind of, I knew exactly where it was going at that point.
I like though, we all kind of spotted it like collectively that the internet has, and like we knew that this was Earthlex for a while because like, there's no people of color people in the background. Color. It's all white people. And we talked a little bit too, because like this episode's called Ignorance is Chris. And I think it's a really good point where like, you know, we're both white males and being surrounded by white people all over the place in our small towns isn't like a rare thing. It's not uncommon. So like, I think me and you in this world, it would maybe take us a minute to be like, where's the people of color? And I get that from our main character, but I love how James Gunn like basically showed white privilege here because it's like, you know what? Yeah. This character, he does not have the empathy to go to other characters to, you know, understand that like, his own privilege. So it makes sense why he would have the time of his life in this universe. And I like how James Gunn was able to show this side of things. But ads goes for a walk, all the people start giving her looks, and you kind of just know that shit was about to go down. Maybe not as fast, but you had an idea. And then of course, you know, Keith walks out and says the thing that I'm like,
damn.
Like we're just like, ah shit. And I'll be honest, I'm happy that Az has been working out. It's very reflective. And she really needed that stamina because she probably would have been dead if not captured at the very least, and may already be so. Vigilante, we get to see his narcissistic psychopath self. He really wanted to meet himself.
Yeah, I love that. He's so dead set on meeting himself, no matter the cause.
And like, I love
that whole scene when he's walking up to the house. Oh, it's beautiful.
It was
just laughing maniacally about everything.
I love how he's exactly the same, except for the one core aspect.
Yeah, he's a constant in the DC multiverse. Vigilante.
I don't know if he is a constant, but I know that, like,
I think so.
Maybe.
I think so. There's one crazy guy.
Well, we have the Arrowverse. Except for, yeah. Don't forget the Arrowverse. We have one serious version. I don't know if it's DCU canon, but I feel like anything is DC. I feel like anything is DCU canon at this point.
No.
You introduce everything the multiverse. Except for that. You introduce the multiverse, everything's canon. And hey, that Adrian Chase is actually a decent, I would say that's a pretty solid Vigilante take.
I don't even know if I remember
season 5
at all from Arrow.
I
fell off before that.
You might have stopped it. Season 5 from Arrow, this was like the season that kind of brought it back. It was like the best season since season 2 with Deathstroke. Adrian Chase Vigilante was like the surprise villain. He was kind of like Prometheus. But yeah, so like it was definitely a much different take than this version. Still a good take. I will say this version is just so much funnier, so much more meme. Mm-hmm. They literally Spider-Man meme and all that. They're like, Spider-Man meme. I just love how excited they were about it, too.
They're both, just like the exact same person.
But I will say, like, I enjoy the biggest contrast, though. This version hates Chris. He's a sworn enemy. And I like that. I like, because the parallel is, like, one, the vigilante that hates Chris, his Chris killed that Chris, and then our vigilante chopped him up. And I feel like if you just share that information, like, hey, you know that you're like I helped kill them, I helped chop them up, like we got him,
burned him. But my
version of Chris, good version, we like him.
Mm-hmm.
So, anything that I missed?
Then we get the. And then, and then at the end of that, he says that he's part of the Sons of Liberty.
Oh, and that's the reason why he joined the Sons of Liberty, which I'm assuming we're going to get more of them next episode. Little other parts. Augie and Economos. Augie stabs Economos in the hand. Chris meets with Fleury a little bit to talk. And I think that's might be the first time that those two like actually talk together in the season, and it was interesting. I don't really remember it too much, but I just remember their interaction. I'm like, huh, it's interesting to see Fleury with like being underneath somebody. Any other things that we missed? Ooh, the pitcher. I think it's a good segue. So right before the intro, they were just celebrating fighting the kaiju, the one that's from the Superman movie in this different universe. Mm-hmm. They go to whatever the restaurant they went to. I don't know if it was like a Red Robin or something, or if it was just like a local restaurant. But kids want to take a picture, and they took a picture, and then like the faces melted.
I forgot about that. That was weird.
It was weird. And I think like everyone kind of just explained it as, oh, it's just to show the audience that this universe isn't what it seems. There's something messed up about it. But I'm also just kind of like, there's got to be something more with that.
It was so weird and so deliberate. I blocked it on my memory. But as soon as it happened, I verbally said that was weird.
It was, I think me and my wife said the same. Like, that was weird. And I'm like, is this a Clayface reference? And that's why I'm segueing, because I'm like, I feel like it could be.
I'm not too sure. I don't have any theories on that one. But that would be kind of a weird spot to try to reference Clayface, wouldn't it?
It is a weird spot. Here's the segue, though, that it's still weird. But one of the reasons why I thought of Clayface right away is, there's a bunch of people on the internet trying to figure out who Fleury is. Because because apparently they spent like 100 to 200 to 300 like auditions because they couldn't find this character. And this character, or they couldn't find a person to play this character right until they got Tim Meadows to play him. And even I remember like James Gunn said this on the podcast, and Tim Meadows was like, oh, I didn't know you guys spent that long on this character. And James Gunn talks like, hey, this character is a certain way, but there's a whole arc for him later on, which implies that this this character is bigger. So the two main theories that I've heard, but the biggest one that I heard is he's Martian Manhunter.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. Maybe on Mars they can't tell what birds are.
It would make sense, right?
Something weird like that.
And like he doesn't understand like social cues. So like in order to like learn them, he has to do their physical body features, you know, so titties and just like our rookie, or I forget the other names, but just like the really crude names. I'm like, okay, it's a theory that makes sense. But I heard another theory that he's Clayface. And they're like, if you hear him talk in Creatures Commandos, he talks very crudely. And if you watch him, it seems like he's very acting like he has like this big flaw that's bird blindness, right? Well, Clayface is often an actor. And flaws is like one of the biggest key things for writing or acting. Like you want to have a character with a big flaw so they feel believable, right? And real. So what if the bird blindness thing, and maybe Clayface literally cannot tell birds for whatever reason, but maybe this is his, he just went really hard on the bird blindness because he wants to feel believable. So that's like the one random flaw. And he talks about it too. He's like, that's my flaw. I don't know why you're punishing me for my one flaw. And like he says it like that too. So I'm like, I like that because it makes sense, right? Clayface, right?
What would Clayface be doing there?
He has to get into Argus for whatever reason. I don't know. What does Martian Manhunter have to do there either?
I believe Martian Manhunter would be on more, because like even in like Supergirl, for instance, the TV show, like wasn't he just like part of the government agencies or whatever? And that kind of fits his character more so than
but it's been done recently. And I will say the person who was on the TikTok theory that said it was Clayface, they did say, like, we already seen the Martian Manhunter story before. We've seen this. Like, if we think James Gunn's going to do this again. And I'm like, that's a good point. Clayface makes sense because, one, there is a movie that's come out. We do not have an actor for Clayface. It comes out in a year.
Yeah.
So, like, this makes sense that he would be Clayface. We already seen him in Creatures Commando. We already seen him be a professor for whatever reason. Odd job that he's hired for, so it makes sense why he would have an odd job here. I don't know, Clayface makes sense.
Maybe. You sell me a little bit more, but I'm still not. I would need some motivation behind it, I guess. Then again, I mean, is this still just a plot from the one crazy chick from Creatures Commandos? I can't remember her name.
Could be. Or maybe he.
But didn't she get like killed?
Or wait, hold on. Rick Flag and Clayface have met before, right?
Yeah, they have. Yeah, he broke his back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So therefore, that's, you think like then, because he didn't really act that weird with Rick Flag.
Yeah.
He seemed like there was like a little bit of mutual respect, which would lead to Martian Manhunter a little bit. I don't know.
We'll see.
All right, here's my theory. Here's my theory that I have. I think our vigilante is going to die.
You think we're going to lose our Freddy Stroma?
No, he's going to get replaced by one.
It's the universes.
And we're going to, it's going to be the exact same.
Basically the exact same person. So.
Except he hates Peacemaker. Which feels like, it feels like somebody's going to die. And this is my other question that I have. Do we get a party member death?
Perhaps. I don't. I feel like if it would be anyone, it'd probably be like Economos.
Why would you kill Economos?
Because he's like the heart of the group. That's where you go for if you want that emotional impact, right?
It feels cheap. It feels like Economos would be like the one that cries.
So does killing off somebody and replacing them with an exact copy of them. That feels pretty cheap too.
But it's already been done. James Gunn's done it before.
You just said that he wouldn't do something that he's done before.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. It's a good counter. But, like, technically, he didn't kill off Gamora, but he did, like, replace Gamora with Gamora. Yeah. So, like, it's not like it's a... It's not like he hasn't done something similar to this. But the reason why I bring it up, because, like, one, our Peacemaker died. Or the Gen X or Earth X Peacemaker died.
Mm-hmm.
And that Chris replaced him. So wouldn't it make sense that, like, if Vigilante died, that this Vigilante would replace him? But, like, and everything's the same except for the fact that he hates Chris? And that could lead into, like, a Season 3 scenario?
Hmm. Maybe. I don't know. I don't even know if, like, his hatred would transfer over, right? Because it's not the same person.
Well, I don't know. Maybe I just want Vigilante to be the arch nemesis to Peacemaker, because I just feel like that'd be funny.
It would be funny, but I don't know. I guess we'll see. We'll see.
Other members, Judo Master is definitely on the high risk here. I think Ads.
Yeah, we have.
Adebayo, I think, is very much on the list here.
Mm.
Harcourt is another one that I think would...
He's going to kill his own wife?
Nah, but she could die from this. It'd be poetic. Yeah. I mean, James could... I don't know. Could be a replacer, too. That one wouldn't be as fun. I will say that. Speaking of EarthX cameos, who do you think we're getting? Do we think we get any?
That's a good question. I mean, we did see the kaiju thing, right?
Yep.
And who was the one that released the kaiju thing in Superman?
Lex Luthor.
We've already seen him in the show.
We did.
He does fit right in on an Earth X style platform.
What if he's good, Lex Luthor? What if he's one of the Sons of Liberty?
He could be. Maybe that would be interesting. That would actually be more interesting. What if that's the Lex Luthor that teams up with Superman?
Nah, I don't think we get that, but maybe. I feel like that would be more cheap.
Do you think so?
I think so. I think that would be a little bit more cheap. Bloodsport. He could be one of the resistance leaders.
Sons of Liberty.
We could get a Batman. That could be their way of revealing who is our Batman.
I don't think we'll get that lucky.
I don't think so either. Waller.
Yeah.
Rick Flagg Sr.
Yeah, maybe.
Another ones that I heard is Ted Kord, Blue Beetle.
That'd be interesting. And I'd be real interested to see, like, some characters we haven't seen yet.
Well, this is the one. This is my favorite one. Not necessarily an Earth X cameo, but a character that could be a cameo that definitely deserves this. G.I. Robot.
Yeah.
Does he not deserve to be on a planet full of Nazis?
Yeah.
With his friends?
I mean, that would be awesome. Yeah, that would be awesome. I will root for that. I don't foresee it happening, but I will root for that. Do you think we get Superman? Maybe not Earth X Superman, but something from, like...
Well, there's a mysterious character in Episode 7 that Rick Flagg Sr. meets with, and there's a lot of people theorizing that this is Superman. I mean, it would make sense. You can't rule it out. Lex Luthor already showed up, so, like, why wouldn't a David Corn Sweat Superman also show up? I mean,
that's kind of what I thought. As soon as I saw him, I was like, oh, I wonder if we're going to get Superman, too.
We might.
If it's just a short cameo.
Blue Beetle, Ted Kord, Blue Beetle. We're getting a mysterious character, but I'm not sure who it is. But apparently it's Wild. I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know if this... I also heard that it's, like, Lex Luthor's assistant. Who I don't... Like, no one ever said the name. They're just like, the guy with the glasses in the movie. And I'm like, okay. That wouldn't be that interesting.
Yeah,
but I don't know if I recognize it. Makes sense, I guess. I don't know if that's not something to be hyped about. He's kind of a side character.
Yeah.
Who do we want to see? Who's going to get us, like, super excited?
Well, seeing as we only really know about what Superman, Clayface, and, like, the Lanterns TV show coming out.
Supergirl.
Like, Supergirl. Like, there's not that much, like, that's, like, in stone yet.
Hawk Girl.
So I don't even know. And even in, like, if somebody does show up, I guess it doesn't like guarantee we're going to get a movie or something of them right away.
I mean, I want G.I. Robot to show up for reasons. I think a Batman would be cool, but I also don't like, I don't know how it'd feel if you like shoehorn him here in this show. Yeah. That's another thing is like, I don't want a shoehorn cameo, but it'd be cool to just get like a random, like, I don't know. Like, what if we get like a random Wonder Woman show up? Is that something that we would be excited about? Or is that something that we're like, eh?
I mean, I wouldn't not be excited, I guess. I don't think Wonder Woman's at the top of my list.
No.
I mean, it's Batman is really the only one like from the original. I mean,
Flash?
I would be excited to see the Flash. Yeah,
Green Arrow?
Because I do really like the Flash.
What if Green Arrow is the one who saves him?
I mean, as long as he's got the mustache, I'm here for it.
Peacemaker has to mark back his word, take back his words of Green Arrow from season one. That would be fun. Okay, let's move on a little bit. Unless you have anything more, I guess my last question is like, how does Lex get out of jail for Man of Tomorrow?
It seems like he's already on that path to get out of jail.
Maybe
work with the government to then slowly get more and more privileges.
Maybe.
Is my camera freaking out on your end?
It is.
Okay. I don't know why I just started doing that.
All right. Well, let's take a short break while you figure that out, and then we'll get to the NBC and stuff, and then we'll get to Gen V. All right. I don't know if you'd like my... Actually, I think you might agree with me on my most valuable character.
For the last two episodes of Peacemaker?
Just in general. Like, up to the six. I have one specific one. I have the next one below is the obvious one. And the third one, I think, is, like, where my heart goes to.
Okay. What do you got?
Well, I want to hear what... Who like, most valuable character, who do you think?
I mean, I feel like it's probably out of bio, right? She's kind of like, without her, everything just would have fell apart a long time ago.
I mean, true.
That's not who you had.
No, not at all. She's not even in my top five.
I mean, she's been like every episode.
She's like the protagonist role, but I'm like, she doesn't have really anything that's meaty like last season.
Not yet. Yeah.
Like, I think you could say she was second for MVP last year, or for MVC for last season. But this season, I don't feel the same. So my heart wants to say Economos. There's just so many like lines where he's just like, you know, if you were to read my file, I am, you know, socially awkward. Yeah. You would have been aware of that. There's just so many things that he just says outwardly to like the authority that's like above him. That I'm just like, fuck yeah, Economos. Like, you're definitely like, you're a real one. He also saved Chris from, you know, essentially getting killed.
He did.
So he's also the only smart one that's like, hey, what if we just like not wait here for him and wait in the portal and then we'll, you know, see if we can find him. Isn't that the smart thing to do? Like, he's throwing up smart suggestions.
Yeah. Nobody listens though.
No, of course not. We wouldn't have a good show if they listen to him.
Right.
I think the obvious one is Peacemaker.
Mm.
And it's kind of just like, he's like the quarterback. Main protagonists are often the quarterbacks. And I say that for, as an NFL fan, the quarterback always wins the MVP. It's just like, you have to have like an amazing season and then just hope there isn't an amazing quarterback season for like a non-quarterback to win. But I'm going to give it to a different character, because I honestly think Eagly's the most valuable character so far.
Okay. All right. Sell me.
Oh, sell you? I mean, like episode two, the bird blindness episode. Mm-hmm. Is that not the greatest fight scene thus far? Did he not just take down a whole squad?
He did. But. Is it, that's all you're going off of one fight scene, Jake?
No, he's also the Prime Eagle.
He is also the Prime Eagle.
It's literally just those two scenes that I have. But like those are.
I think if he like comes through and saves everybody,
I'm not saying he's going to finish it. I'm not saying he's going to finish as the most valuable character. I'm just saying thus far,
yeah,
he's my number one.
Okay.
He took down a whole squad. The whole bird blindness thing is like the best, one of the best parts of the show. You don't get that without the bird.
And the eagle hunter. Yeah. I mean, that has been some of the most fun parts of the show.
Yeah.
I'll give you that.
So far, through six episodes, and I expect this to change, I'm giving it to Eagly. The other ones on the list, Harcourt, Ads, I didn't put it on. I put Vigilante as fifth, but like he's
not... Hasn't he done anything this season?
No, this was kind of his episode thus far.
Yeah, yeah.
I expect
it was like the best part of the episode, to be honest. Yeah, their whole encounter was... aside from maybe the Lex Luthor, because that was pretty hype. It was fun to see him. I forget exactly what he said, but you know, just like talking very much not like he would in a Superman movie, because it's Peacemaker.
Mm-hmm.
See like a little different side of him, swearing and saying things like that.
I do like that.
Superman. Yeah.
Most valuable performer, I give it to one of the two. John Cena, obviously. I think he just plays him really, really well.
Mm-hmm.
But I also want to give it up to Jennifer Holland, because I think she might be the best actress on this show. Like, of course, like her husband's going to give her the meaty parts, the emotional parts, but I think she's killing it. The scene with like between him or between Peacemaker and Harcourt this episode honestly was like one of the best scenes in this show so far. It was one of those believable moments where like, of course I'm not going to tell you in the middle of the park of people trying to shoot you that like I'm going to say that I have feelings for you, despite the fact that like I want to fucking hate you because you killed my friend and you killed him needlessly because you're an asshole.
Yep.
But like over season one, we learn like I really love that adding of like their relationship with like Junior and Harcourt, because I think it just really makes season one so much more like important.
Yeah, it puts a different context on it because we didn't know that before.
We did it, but it fits.
That direct connection.
It fits really well. And they're like, it's always been part of the story. We just never, like, it was never a thing that was put in the forefront until this season. And I really just, I like the confliction that she has. She plays it off really well. The male masculinity thing is silly, but like, it is literally just taking the male, a typical male, and putting on a female, and I really like what's happening with her character. So like, I think John Cena, just because he's the main protagonist and he's killing it, I almost want to say he's probably the most valuable performer thus far, but Jennifer Holland might be 1B, and I think that's how I'm gonna put it. It's 1A, 1B. We'll see. I think the last two episodes will really either cement those two, or one of them will come above, but I'm almost expecting them to be cemented together, because I could see James Gunn doing that. MVP is the one that I don't know what to do with. Most valuable villain.
I mean, the closest we got is probably Rick Flagg Sr.
Yeah, which is like, he's also like, what? Wasn't he one of the top ones for MVC for Creatures Commandos?
Yeah.
Like, he was,
it's
like,
very weird. It's a very weird, like, transition to go from having him be, like, the hero to, like, seemingly this petty. I mean, understandably, but, like, in his role, it seems petty. Like, to be that high up and be, like, and, like, understand what happened exactly to, like, Waller ordered him to do it and everything, and still feel like this petty revenge. It feels like it's below him.
It does. I almost want to put Ren St. Wild as like number one, but I'm like, he won't be. I can see Keith being number one at the end of this.
Keith and Augie again. Yeah.
Yeah.
Especially if he kills Economos right away in the next episode.
I don't think it's going to happen. It's Vigilante. He's going to die. And then we're going to get Vigilante. James Gunn, right. Emma loves he loves to kill characters and then bring them back. Almost the same. Groot is another one, by the way.
He did
kill Groot.
I was right about the eagle.
You were. I'm going to be mad if you're right. Like, I'm going to be mad that he's dead, but I'm going to be mad that he's right. What if he's replaced by a better, like a action version of Economos?
I don't know if I want an action version of Economos. I like Economos how he is.
You said he's going to die, so like...
Yeah, but you can like somebody. Everyone's got to die at some point, Jake. Our life.
It's, well, not necessarily for narratives. Tell that to Kenny in South Park. He comes back after how many times he said died. I will say, they really should... South Park missed the mark on their thing. Kenny should have been Charlie Kirk. And I'm going to leave it there.
Okay.
I'm just saying they missed the mark there. All right. Yeah, Ric Flair Sr. is my number one. Vid St. Wild is my number two. I don't know who... Like, Judo Master is number three, but I'm like, yeah, it does. It's, there's not a good three. Keith, I think, is going to win. But we'll see.
Mm.
All right. Gen V. You haven't watched episode 4 yet.
Mm-mm.
Episode 4 is kind of like where we... Once you watch episode 4, and maybe we'll wait a little bit on this, because that's when we get into the what the season's going to be about. We learn a little bit more about Cypher and like what he can do. We learn a little bit of it. Jordan and Maria has to fight each other. But let's talk about the first three episodes. Spoilers. There's not that big of spoilers.
Still spoilers.
Oh, fine. Spoiler. Okay. First three episodes. What's your thoughts so far?
I mean, I got pretty into it right away for the most part. I think my biggest thought that I've had throughout the whole thing is how weird it is with like the handling of Chase's death and like how it's such a big part in the story. And I don't quite know how I feel about that. It's weird, right?
I think it was always going to be weird, right? How do you have one of the main characters die off screen, you know, like Black Panther 2 with Chadwick Boseman. It was weird. It was a weird thing. But I think like, just like Black Panther did Wakanda Forever, I think they handled it well and the best that they could have.
It's been respectful, but it just feels weird knowing like they're acting about this stuff, but it's like it actually really happened, kind of. And I don't know. It just has like a weird, definitely adds like a weird feeling to the show.
It's also weird because like we end season one with a lot of this momentum, and then when season two happens, and
kind of reset a little bit.
But like, what's the other big thing that happened too? The Boys season 4. The whole world, or this, the United States, it's no longer, you know, copying our world. It's very similar. But like, you know, authoritative regime is taken over. Superheroes are now in control. Kotalkin is now run by Cypher, who is allegedly a superhuman. And everybody there is super. Like, they're all from Thought. They're all have V in their blood. And we, instead of getting this like, hey, they're in prison or this medical facility and they have to escape, which is where we left off in season one, we get them going back to school caring about rankings again. So it is fucking weird because it's like, okay, the sole status quo changed. They're given a second chance to be students again. But I also feel like they kind of had to go this route because nothing else really made sense. Unless like,
I do. I mean, it was kind of like a weird story to begin with. And unless I just like, that's what kind of what kept it separate from the Boys, which was like more contained and like to this college and stuff like that. And as soon as you get rid of like the college, then it's like, well, isn't this just like
the boys?
Yeah. So I guess I do kind of understand that. And hopefully this mystery they're weaving behind like the college and stuff like that will make more sense as far as like why this place is so important and stuff like that to like the overall lore of the Boys.
And we're getting that with Odessa and like, what is Odessa and Marie's, you know, connection with Odessa, if she's Odessa or whatever it is. And we're seeing that play out, and you see it with episode 4, you see that idea get played out a little bit more. I can't say more. And I wish, yeah. So it's one of those shows that's just like, I can't say it's a must watch, but if you watch The Boys, it is very much a must watch show. And I love, it's one of those shows that it feels like it shouldn't be good. It feels like it shouldn't be great. And I would say this, it's a great show. It doesn't, it feels like it's an add-on, but it definitely proves its worth.
Yeah.
Every time I watch it. It feels
like it's worth watching. Yeah.
Yeah. And like, it's just generally good. It's generally interesting. I like the X-Men vibe that I get from it this season. I like the whole Cypher's pushing his students like, hey, like we're actually going to battle. If like the normies, if humans actually wanted to kill us with their guns, they would. They will kill us. We need to learn how to fight. So like if we have to, we're fighting them. And I really like that concept.
Kind of like an evil X-Men vibe, yeah.
Yeah, but it's not even like evil. It's that neutral ground. And then you get like the resistant movement from humans. We get the subclass version of it. And we get to see how this one place, this one area changes with it. And so I think it's interesting. It, like I said, it proves its worth. Which, over and over again, like, I feel like Gen V, The Boys, like this universe is proving its worth.
Yep.
So,
yep.
What do you think is going on?
What do I think is going on?
Yeah, because like I can't tell you what I think because like episode 4, you know, puts me in it.
Yeah. I assume that they were trying to make some sort of certain kind of soup. Is what Odessa was.
Yeah.
Especially because they gave us like that flashback of Thomas Godolkin and like all the other scientists, presumably like testing their first like version of V, and they all just die immediately. So I assume there's some sort of reason they wanted to create somebody that had some control over blood, be it as like an ultimate weapon or maybe something else to like control people. Or maybe they wanted to use it to make it so they could make their powers better or like something like that. That's kind of the vibes I'm getting.
Yeah. I get the feeling that this season's going to tie into season 5. And my question is this the last season of Gen V, or do we get like, is this going to be the extended universe after The Boys ends?
Like see the fallout and stuff after The
Boys? Yeah. Cause I can see season 3 being the fallout of The Boys and then that being the ending of Gen V, but I also can see season 2 being the end, and it just helps all
culminates in season 6. Yeah, I could see that. Maybe she has the power to like take V out of other people's blood,
possibly,
and like get rid of their powers.
Or maybe she's the one. I think it'd be weird if she's the one who kills Homelander.
It would be a little weird, but it also, I mean, I guess we never saw if Vicky could. She like talked about, like they talked about it with her and Homelander. He's like, you think you could blow up my head before I kill you or whatever? And tells her to try, but she doesn't actually try. So who knows if something like that could actually kill him. And we saw her use like her powers on that Vicor guy, the guy that's like Thor, to like stop his heart. But he was able to like manually keep it beating with his fist. Still grabbed her, which is pretty hardcore. But I guess like, you know, to what extent could she do that to somebody like Homelander and stuff like that?
I can't say more.
Yeah.
Because it's like what you're saying is like right on point. I think like I wouldn't be surprised if they're like season 5, because we have seen Starlight already. She knows. We got to talk about that too. Starlight randomly just like, oh, you got to look into Odessa. I didn't really care for it. I like the I like the mixture. But yeah, it feels forced. It feels like, oh, they're friends because main characters of different shows meet each other. So they have to be friends. Like that's the vibe I got from it. And maybe that's Aaron Moriarty. Like, I don't know if, I don't know if it was just her acting in this moment. Like, I didn't really care for it. It just felt forced. I would say writing too, just straight up like, what, why is she there? We also don't know more about Starlight. Like, she's leading a rebellion group, which makes sense for her character.
Yeah.
So,
but yeah, everyone else is captured. She's on her own.
It's just, yeah.
I'll be curious to see if we learn more about where the other members of the boys are.
But every season, though, is like, oh, we found a new way to kill Homelander. Oh, we found a new person that can kill Homelander. So I'm like, Marie being the season five.
Season six.
No, season five.
Wasn't it season five that we just watched?
No, we're watching season,
season four.
You're thinking, you're combining Gen V. Gen V season one is season four?
I thought it was season five.
I mean, it kind of makes sense. Like, if you want to watch it that way, season one, two, three of the boys, season one of Gen V, then season four of the boys, and season five, or season two, then season five, and, you know, it's seven seasons. Worth it, by the way. So, yeah, can't really say more, because I want to talk more of, like, where's the season going, but that's, we have to talk about season, or episode four.
Does it come out? When does it come out? What day?
Wednesday.
Wednesdays, okay.
Yes, it comes out on Wednesdays. Peacemakers comes out on Thursdays.
Yeah, I've been watching Peacemaker like as soon as it comes out every Thursday.
Same.
Yeah, like 8 o'clock.
Got you. Otherwise, TikTok's going to reveal it for me anyway.
Yep. Yeah, no spoilers.
What's your rating for Gen V for the first three episodes?
I mean, so far I feel like a solid four. I don't know if I could go higher than that.
I think I'm
going kind of more of where it's going.
I think I'm at a 4-. Not that it's not a 4. It's more just like, it's still like borderline great. I'm still into it. It's not watching Peacemaker and then watching Gen V. I'm way more excited for Peacemaker. I think like that's more elite. But I'm like, Gen V's a solid, great show. It's
different. Yeah. It's weird. Like they should be more comparable, but I feel like they're
not. No, not at all.
Yeah, but even like they're both like kind of darker adult superhero shows.
They're different vibes. One's college, one's just like, I don't even know what you'd call it.
I think that might be part of it too. It's just that I can't relate to college kids as much as I used to.
Same.
Gen V.
Those Gen Vers, I can't.
Yeah.
Can't relate.
Can't relate.
Much.
Yeah.
All right. Anything else?
I don't think so. I'll probably have more to say after I watch this next episode.
Fair enough. All right. I think we're gonna call it here. Thank you, Meme, for joining. This is your host, Jake Sherbing, signing off.